Reform Voices of Torah, Union for Reform Judaism, Shabbat, January 21st, 2017, 23 Tevet, 5777, Parashat Shemot, Exodus 1:1 through 6:1, Haftarah, Isaiah 27:6 through 28:13, and 29:22 through 23, Devar Torah, The First Heroes of Exodus, by Rabbi Anna Bonheim. The book of Exodus opens by creating a picture of the Israelites' life in Egypt, who was there, where they came from, and what their connections were to the stories of Genesis. Then we read the famed words, "A new king arose over Egypt, who did not know Joseph." In this single statement, the Torah signals the end of a period of peace and the beginning of an era of oppression and slavery. The Israelites' oppression becomes even more profound a few verses later when Pharaoh orders the killing of all newborn Hebrew boys. This decree foreshadows the 10 plagues to come, with their last and most terrible plague, Makat Bechorot, the killing of the firstborn. But as the Israelites' period of slavery already included Pharaoh's order to kill all newborn Hebrew boys, perhaps that last plague should not have come as a surprise. It was in this volatile climate that two women take a daring step of spiritual audacity that changed the story forever. The two midwives, Shifra and Puah, let all the Hebrew newborn babies live. The Torah says that the midwives take this risk because they feared God. We can only guess why Pharaoh doesn't want newborn boys. Perhaps they could be a future threat to him. Perhaps he just wanted the Israelites completely eliminated over time. There are many possibilities. In focusing on killing baby boys, Pharaoh doesn't account for female power, that two brave midwives could disobey his order and set in motion the story of Moses. Who are these women, and how does fearing God motivate such a radical move of opposition? The standard reading is that they are Hebrew midwives, Lamialdot Ha'ivriot, who are determined to save their people. This explanation is plausible. Hebrew midwives would naturally be averse to killing sons in their own community. Plus, it's strategic. Those baby boys could grow to be the threat that Pharaoh feared. Scholars, including the legendary commentator Rashi, as well as Rav and Shmuel, two rabbis of the Talmud, even interpret Shifra and Puah to be women we know in other contexts, such as Yocheved, Moses' mother, Miriam, Moses' sister, and Elisheba, Aaron's wife. If we follow these interpretations, then we understand Shifra and Puah's motives. Not only are they saving newborn boys, but also they are enabling Moses to come into the world and acting to ensure his survival. As anyone who reads Torah knows, it is not written with vowels. Our standard way of reading Torah, the Masoretic text, has appointed vowels. But in some cases, there may be multiple options for vowel readings, and in this case, a single vowel could change the entire story. What if we read the text not as Lamialdot Ha'ivriot, the Hebrew midwives, but as Limialdot Ha'ivriot, the midwives to the Hebrews? This is a traditional, though less well-known, Jewish reading. Josephus, Yehuda HaChassid, and Don Isaac Abarbanel all suggest that Shifra and Puah can't be Hebrews, because how could Pharaoh trust Hebrew women to murder their own people? They must be Egyptian. If Shifra and Puah were Egyptian, then what's their motivation to defy Pharaoh? It seems that Shifra and Puah's motives must have been pure. They genuinely did not want to kill baby boys, period. It's a moral compass, a deep and intuitive sense of right and wrong that motivated them, since they had everything to risk and nothing to gain. When Pharaoh finds out that the Hebrew boys are living under Shifra and Puah's watch, he confronts them. Their excuse that the Hebrew women are so strong that they give birth before the midwives have time to arrive seems like a creative but quickly made up reason. Their bravery makes them Exodus's first heroes. There is an incredible fragment of a text from the Cairo Geniza, a collection of manuscripts found in a Cairo synagogue dating as far back as 870 CE, that recognizes Shifra and Puah as Egyptians, It's a list of biblical righteous Gentiles, and it includes the midwives. The context of the fragment has been lost, but the list remains, and Shifra and Puah are on it, along with women like Hagar and Zipporah. So what do you think? Do you read Shifra and Puah as Hebrews or as Egyptians? Our tradition, in its multivocal complexity, leaves the jury still out. Either way, Shifra and Puah have something powerful to offer. Not only did they save new babies, but also they, two women in ancient Egypt, leave us with some amazing lessons. 1. The power of women in a uniquely female space. It's easy to think that the events that make history are the decrees, battles, and moments of high drama. But Shifra and Puah remind us that history also happens at the birth stool. Their actions literally determine the fate of a people. They set the stage for Moses to live. 2. The power of individuals valuing life over politics. In every generation, there are people who are truly righteous. It's people who helped save Jews during the Holocaust, hiding Jews in their homes. It's people like Shifra and Puah, quietly saving lives through what they know to be right, despite the tremendous risk involved. 3. Humanity first. In the immortal words of Dr. Seuss, a person's a person no matter how small, Shifra and Puah choose to see babies, as people with only possibility ahead, not defined by their religion, gender, or status. That one of those babies could turn out to be Moses was only incidental, superseded by the concept of saving a life. Rabbi Anna Bonheim recently moved to Charlotte, North Carolina with her husband and two young children. She served as the associate director and director of year-round programs at URJ Green Family Camp in Texas for the past 8 years.